So we are holding on Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom. So we learned yesterday that the Rav Huna Amar Rav had said the concept that if a person swears on a claim, Manali B'yadcha, the other person swears that he doesn't, even if Edim come afterwards, he's potter from paying, because once he swore, then that's it, he's potter from paying.
Sure.
Yeah. And we were there that yesterday the Gemara went through all of the went through the ins and outs of that. What situations does that apply in? Does it only apply to a milvah? Does it also apply to a pekadon? Does it apply? If we said it only applies if he swore in based in, not outside based in. So the last thing that it said was that Rava had modified what Rav had said, that when the person admitted afterwards. When the person admitted afterwards, then we don't say that he's potter because Edim came. Any time he admitted that he had sworn falsely, doesn't matter whether he was Toyin Tainas Ganev, doesn't matter whether Toyin Tainas Ovad, that he claimed that it was lost, etc. In all those cases, he would be Chayim.
Because once
he admitted that Rava is saying that's not what Rav said. The only case where Rav would say it, and also not if Toyin Tainas Ganev and then Edim came, the only case would be Toyin Tainas Ovad, where he claimed that it was lost, not stolen, and then he swore and he didn't admit to that, and then later on Edim came. That Rav is saying that's the only case where Rav would say then that he's potter. So
where he
claimed Tainas Ovad, not he claimed that it was lost, yeah, not Ganev, but Ovad. Lost, by the way, doesn't mean that he lost it, like he forgot, yeah, whatever, yeah. Yeah. He swore on that. He didn't later on admit, and then Edim came and said that actually he was what he swore was false, and that he then and that in fact and then in fact he had taken it himself or whatever.
And that he would be possible.
That's the only case where Rav would say he's possible.
So, why be pater with the Edim?
Because we said, that's what he said yesterday, Balakach Bailam, Balo Yushalim, once the Bailam have accepted a Shavua, then he doesn't pay Mammon anymore. Okay. So, also Rav Gamda, V'omr L'Shmaita Kameder Rav Ashi. So Rav Gamda, now we're on to the next generation, now we're already many generations past Rav, and two generations after Rava, went and told over this whole teaching to Rav Ashi. Omalei, and he said, I don't understand how Rava could say that. Let's consider. Umara Hamnuna Talmidin Rav, Madachar Hamnuna, who is the direct Talmud of Rav. In fact, Rashi says that the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin, whenever the Gemara says Amri Bei Rav, they said in the Yeshiva of Rav, unspecified, it means that Rav Hamnuna said it, so he was a close Talmud of Rav. The Yoda de Omar Rav Hoida, he knew that Rav held of his opinion that a Shavua patters him from paying, even if afterwards he admitted. Even if Edim came afterwards. The Kamoisiv Hoida, and in fact, he was asking from a case that involved him being Moida, that involved a case where he made him the case that it said in the Gemara yesterday, where he made him swear five times, Bifnei based in, Shaloi Bifnei based in, he denied each one, he's Chayav for each one because he could admit after each one. So evidently then Rav Hamnuna knows that Rav said his din regardless whether he was Moida or not. How can you, Rava, a couple of generations later, who was not a direct Talmud of Rav, disagree with Rav Hamnuna's understanding of Rav and say that he would hold that if Hoida, then he's Potter, that he's Chayev, rather? You're saying that Rav would not say it in a case of Hoida. So Rav Achasava answers Rav Ashi. It's like this. Rav Hamnuna Hokikokashalei. What brought Rav Hamnuna to say that was he asked as follows. In the case of the five Shavuos, he swore one time. Each time he swore, inside based and outside based, and as the Gemara talked about yesterday, and he could have admitted in between each one. So, Iyamat Bishlem and Nishvak, he also ate him Chayim. Now, if you're going to say that even after he swore the first time, if Edim were to come, he would be Chayim, Am Tula Hochi Mechayim, and like Karban HaShavua Basraisa. Well, that explains why we can be Mechayim and Meshavua for the second or the third or the fourth, etc. Shavua. Hoyover Yocha Lachter Lahoidus, because each time he could have been Moida, and being Moida would make him Potter.
If you're going to say that
each time he swore, if Edim would come at that point, he would be chayav to pay the keren. Now he goes and swears again, then he's patering himself from that keren. And each time it would go like that. Therefore, he can be chayav a korban shvur for each one of those five shvurs.
However, he's moide.
Because he could have been moide.
He could have been moide. And he doesn't.
Because, in other words, the point is, each shvur is patering him from something which otherwise he would be chayav. Again, he swore Adam came. If Adam were to come, he'd be chayav. If Adam were to come after the first shvur, he would be chayav. He would be chayav to pay the keren. His second shvur can be accomplishing something. His second shvur is patering him from that payment, unless Adam comes to contradict him, and so forth. So each one of them is accomplishing, each denial on Shavuah is accomplishing something. That is why we make him chayiv for a korban for that last Shavuah. Because each time in between, he could have been moide in between. He could have been moide in between. So therefore, each one is a kfira of its own. Each one is accomplishing something of its own. Eli, Amit, he also Adam Potter, but if you're going to tell me that if Adam come after the first Shavuot, he's already Potter anyway, so how could there be a case? If Adam were to come and testify against him Potter, then he'd be Potter. That's what you're saying. As soon as he gives the Shavuot, then you'd say, even if you were to say, hypothetically, that even if he gives the Shavuot, if afterwards Adam come, he remains Potter because he already gave the Shavuot, how could it be that Adam would come, he'd still be Potter? So the only reason to be Mechayev and Meshavua is because it's possible for him to become Chayev in between one Shavua and the other by being Moide. The fact of the matter is, he has not been Moide. So therefore, it's not really, that second and third and fourth Shavua are not really accomplishing anything. They're not, at that point, once he swore that first Shavua, If you're going to say that even if Adam come afterward after that first shavuah he's potter, then the second shavuah is not really accomplishing anything more, because already he's potter from that moment. The guy wouldn't be able to get it out of him, so there'd be no reason to be mechayev a korban shavuah for the remaining shavuahs. Mm-hmm. The bottom line being, because of that question is what forced Rav Hamnuna to say that is what forced Rav Hamnuna to say that the Braisa was talking about outside based in, inside based in. He voluntarily swore cases that would pass to him, but cases rather where the Shavua is not the kind of Shavua that Rav is talking about would pass to him. Doesn't mean he might not agree with Rav's position that even when he is Moida, there will be cases where he'd actually be hired. In other words, what forced him to say his shita was not so much, I disagree with Rava's position. Fine, Rav Hamnuna in a previous generation can agree with Rava's position that he mentions later on. Therefore, you don't have Rav Ashi's question that how can Rava contradict Rav Hamnuna. However, Rav Hamnuna felt compelled to explain things the way he did because otherwise the case of the five shavuos doesn't make sense.
If you keep the explanation of Rav.
You could say that Rav Hamnuna does agree that Rav would say that in certain cases of Hodah, you're nevertheless going to still be Chayev. Only in a certain case of Hodah would you be Potter. However, in that case of the five Shavuot, Hodah is kind of out of the picture. We're not dealing there. We're not dealing with Hodah per se. We're dealing what kind of Shavua it is and whether Adim might come in between, etc. Okay.
Otherwise,
so that's the bottom line. In other words, we don't have to say that Rava's understanding of Rav contradicts Rav Hamnuna. Another din related to the previous one. I turn tainus ganav b'pikadon. If somebody claims on a pikadon that it was stolen, v'shalom tashlumei kefil, then he pays tashlumei kefil. The pasuk clearly says so. But the chiddush in this one is tova chomacher, that if he were to shecht that animal or sell it, then he would have to pay four or five, just as if he was a full fledged guy. Rishonim disagree. Are we talking about that? He had an animal as a pikadon. Yeah. So he was toyin tainus ganav.
So
meanwhile, he claimed that it was stolen. Meanwhile, he still has it. possession. And at some point he shechts it or sells it. Rishonim discuss the Rambam versus the Ravid argue about, are we talking about that he shechted it? Are we talking about that he shechted it before the Tainus Ganav or afterwards? Whatever. We treat him like a full-fledged Ganav then, so he'll have to pay the four or five. However, and the reason is, Rav Chiya Abba says that we can figure this out as follows. The Gemara is going to assume that the Gemara is going to start assuming by assuming that he's doing a binyan ab. Like this, however, ganav nishalom tashlomei kefil, because given that we find that a ganav pays tashlomei kefil, the toyin tainus ganav nishalom tashlomei kefil, and a shomer who claims tainus ganav also pays tashlomei kefil, because the pasuk says so. So we can draw an analogy. We can make a binyan ab from it. Ma ganav shu mishalom kefil tavach hamacham nishalom tashlomei abav hamisha. Just like a ganav can have kefil if it was anything else other than animal or an animal that he didn't shecht or steal, or abav hamisha, as it said back in Meruba, if he did shecht it or steal it. Or sell it, I mean. After in Tainus Ganav of the cotton, the same thing. When somebody claims Tainus Ganav of the cotton, same thing. Shur Mishalom Dashlom Ekeifel, Tavo Homoha Mishalom Dashlom Abav HaMisha.
Given,
in that sense, we're saying, yeah, on the face of it, if we're drawing an analogy between him and a Ganav as far as Dashlom Ekeifel, so just as a regular Ganav pays Abav HaMisha, so should the Shomer.
So why don't we say that Ganav is a Ganav, straightforward?
Because he's not. The fact is he's not a Ganav originally. The difference is a Ganav, the object came, because the difference is a Ganav, to begin with, it came to him be'ister. The Shomer, to begin with, came to him be'heter. He was asked to watch it.
So the result is this.
Fine. But then the question is, Mala Ganav, but there's another key difference. A Ganav, remember, is only going to pay, a Ganav is going to pay Tashlom Kefil, Tashlom Abav HaMisha, across the board. Doesn't matter whether he swore, doesn't matter whether he didn't swear, as long as the case is brought to Beis Din, and there are Edim of the Gneva, or of the Tvicha, or the Chira, he's going to pay four or five. In the case of Toyin Tainus Ganav, there needs to be an oath, there needs to be a Shavuot. Which is what the Gemara asks. Mala Ganav Shekin Mashalom Dashlom Kefil Shalai B'Shvura. How can you compare? A Ganav is more stringent. He pays Tashlom Kefil even without a Shvura. Toyin B'Toyin Tainus Ganav Shekin Mashalom Dashlom Kefil Ela B'Shvura. How can you compare it to Toyin Tainus Ganav? He only becomes Chayev and Kefil if he swore falsely. Meaning the Torah is more lenient on him. Unless he swears falsely, then he's not Chayev and Kefil. So maybe by the same logic, fine, the Torah is also more lenient on him, that even if he shechts or sells the animal, he's not going to be chayim, that's no mabav hamisha. Maybe he's not completely like a ganav in that sense. Amri, so the answer, it's not a binyan ab. If it was a binyan ab, yes, you can slog it up like that. A binyan ab is like a kavachomer in that sense, you can slog it up. But rather, hekeshim. Rather, we learn this comparison from a hekesh, because the Torah puts together ganav and Torah and Tainus ganav. Namely, Rashi says you have two psukim back to back. One by a shomer, it starts off by saying by a shomer chinam that if the thing is stolen, imimotzei aganav yishalom shnayim. If the ganav is found, then he pays double. And the next pasuk continues, im lo yimotzei aganav. If the ganav is not found, then they come to Beis Din and the shomer has to swear that he didn't take it for himself, etc. And if it turns out that he did, then he pays double. So the Torah itself is making an analogy. It's making a hekesh between a ganav and Torah and Tainus ganav. A hekesh, the ein meshivin al askesha. You can't argue back on a hekesh, because a hekesh is, that's how the Torah is written. That's how the Eibush decided. Zeres HaKosiv. Okay. Problem with that is, ha-nichol amandor ha-chab b'ganav ha-chab b'toyin tainas ganav shaper. Fine, but of those two psukim over there in Parshas Mishpatim, back in Meruba, the Gemara had talked about that there's two different ways of learning. One is that one pasuk is talking about a regular ganav, imimotzei aganav yishalom shnayim, is teaching us another detail about the dinim of a regular ganav, and then im lo yimotzei haganav v'nikra balabais, it's talking about the shomer. So, ihanichel mandam achab b'ganav b'chan b'toyin tainas ganav shafir. So fine, if you say that, one's talking about a regular run-of-the-mill ganav, the other one is talking about a shomer who claims tainas ganav, one pasuk, and then the next pasuk is talking about a shomer who is toyin tainas ganav shafir, then good, you have a hekesh between them. But over there in Meruba, we learned that there was another opinion that the two psukim, that both psukim are turning Tainus Ganav. That the Ganav himself that he has paid double, we learned from a different pasuk. Both of these psukim, Yimotzei Ganav, Yishalom Shnayim, Lo Yimotzei Ganav, are both talking about the Shomer. Well, then my Ikalameimah, then where's your Hekesh?
If both are talking about
the Shomer, who's turning Tainus Ganav, yeah. Amri, the answer, Ganav Haganav. Yes, but even according to that opinion, you can learn it from the extra hey of Haganav. that in one or the other of those sukkim, either im yimafe haganav yishalem shnayim, or im lo yimafe haganav, in one or the other of them, it could have left out the hay. So the given
hay comes to,
and the hay comes to include, therefore, that it teaches us not only the shomer who claims tainas ganav, but also a regular ganav. The same rules apply to both. Therefore, just as a regular ganav has double,
so the man the
that's if you say that if you say that both of them are talking about a shomer,
about a shomer
who's turning tainas ganav, then he can use the hay to learn that the word haganav includes both the regular ganav and turning tainas ganav.
So
the same rules apply to both. The other one would say that you don't douse in the hay. Okay. So therefore, so the same rules that apply to one apply to the other. So if the same way as a regular ganav pays double in most cases in four or five, so with tavach hamachar, same thing. Turn
tainas ganav. Comes to include tainas ganav.
Well, it comes to include regular ganav. Turn tainas ganav is right there in the pasuk. Okay. However, a sfera p'chir ba'av lo rabbi Yechanan. A braisa says, if one person says to the other, Heichan Shori, where's my ox? He answers Nigna, meaning he goes to a shomer who he asks to watch his ox for him. He says Nigna. Mashbiachani, he says, I'm putting you under an oath. But Amar Amen, which is the equivalent of saying the oath himself. So now he's under it. Yeah. But Edim Meidim Oseh Sha'ochlai. However, Edim come and say that he actually ate it. Mishalom Tashlom Ekefel. Then he pays Tashlom Ekefel. Now why Tashlom Ekefel? Ochlai means he shechted it on the face of it. But ha'ochad the efshel kazayis possible a shechita on the face of it. You can't even have one kazayis of meat without having shechted the animal. If they're giving eders that he ate, necessarily it means that he has to have shechted it.
V'katoni
mishalom tashlom kefal. And the Brayta says that all he pays is kefal. Tashlom kefal ain't tashlom dalad v'hei loy. Where's the dalad v'hei? Why aren't you be mechayim in that? So doesn't that show, in other words, that turning kind of ganav is different than a regular ganav? Kefal, sure, because the pasuk says so, but not dalav v'hei. Yeah. The answer is no. Hachav maya skinen v'nshachla nevela. No, Rabbi Yochanan answers that you could answer, you're assuming the person shechted. No, you could say that it's fine. Edim are giving eders that he ate. He ate a kazayis of it, but he ate nevela. He didn't actually shecht it. And we learned back in Meruba that unless it's a proper shechita, regular kind, like a shechita knife and the whole nine yards, and then yeah. Well, we know that, but we learned also in Meruba that if you don't do a proper shechita, if you're noicher, if you're ma'aker or whatever, then that's not considered that's not considered tzvachay b'chari.
Noicher,
if you stab it, ma'aker, you rip out the
It's not considered a nevela.
No, it is considered a nevela. But the point is, anything other than a proper shechita
is
nevela, but also isn't mechayev you in dalad v'hei. Okay. The question is, v'lishni leit v'en sh'ochle treifa, why does Rabbi Yochanan specifically need to say that the case is that he ate it nevela? Tosfos points out, the point of the Gemara's question is, it's a very unusual case to say that he ate it as nevela. Instead of going into such a doichik like that and saying that the braisa is talking about where he ate it in nevela and that's why he's not chayav in dalad v'hei, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan answer more straightforwardly? Let's say he ate it as a trefa, so he shechted it properly, turned out and had one of the it had a diseased organ or what have you, which that's it's also an aveda just like nevela.
Isn't that a nevela?
Of course it is. No, nevela and trefa are two different things. Nevela means there was something that happened during the shechita. The shechita itself. There was a mistake in the shechita, or he didn't shecht it at all, he stabbed it, or electrocuted it, or what have you, that's nevela. Shechita is, there was a proper shechita, with a shechita knife, everything was done properly with that, but it has some kind of fatal defect. That's less of a doichik to say than nevela, because at least, it can happen, for example, you shecht an animal, you didn't check it carefully, right. You didn't check it carefully enough. Okay. The answer is, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't do that because Kerab Meir, Drama Shchita Sheneru Yishma Shchita, because he holds like Rabbi Meir, as we learned about in Meruba, that even a Shchita that is not proper, meaning the Shchita itself was done properly, but there's some external factor that prevents it from being it's still considered a valid Shchita, as opposed to Rabbi Shimon, who said that it's not. Again, in the case of Tavach HaMachar, exactly this case of Tavach HaMachar, Rabbi Shimon would hold Shchita Sheneru Yishma Shchita. Therefore, since the shchita does not result in the animal being able to be eaten, because it's shchita, then it's not considered shchita, and the ganav is not going to be chayav, the dalad v'hei for it. Whereas Rav Meir holds that not. Rav Meir holds, doesn't matter, the shchita itself was proper. There's a side thing, the fact that it's shchita,
Even though it's not proper to him, it's still a proper shchita.
It's a proper shchita in the sense that the actual act of shchita was done properly.
There was something that was missing.
The difference between Nevela and Trefa is the difference whether the Shechita itself was done properly, but you have something else. You have a side issue.
Right.
Back in Meruba, the Gemara talks about a different angle on it. For example, when you Shech Cholen Ba'azari, you take a Cholen animal and Shech it in the Azara. The Shechita is just like every other Shechita that happens in the world. It's a proper Shechita. However, the animal is also because it's Cholen Ba'azari. Same thing over here. The animal is also because of a side issue. Reb Shimon would hold that. That's what it means, Shechita Shein Eroi Yoreinu. So Reb Shimon would hold that the side issue retroactively makes the shechita itself no good, whereas your mayor disagrees. Well, if a mayor disagrees and Reb Yechonon holds like that, well then even if the animal was terefa, it wouldn't make a difference. It'd still be chayav for dalabeh. Okay. Another possibility, v'lishnei lebe ben pekua. Why doesn't Reb Yechonon give another possibility that the animal in question was a ben pekua, namely that you shechted the mother animal and this animal was found alive inside in the mother? It was almost ready to be born, but not quite yet. The Gemara mentions in Cholin a three-way machlokas. Does such an animal need shechita? Reb Shimon Shazuri says it doesn't need shechita at all. Reb Meir says it needs shechita midaraisa, and then the Rabbanon say it needs shechita midrabbanon. So if we hold like Reb Shimon Shazuri, then a ben pekua doesn't need shechita. So there you have. He can be eating a kezias and more from this animal without ever having shechted it. There's no tvacha yemacharoi, but he's still eating the kezias from it. And therefore, you could say that that's why the braisa is saying he's caught it from dalabeh. Again, the answer is, could a mayor drama ben pekua ton shechita? Again, that doesn't work because Reb Yechonon holds like Reb Meir that a ben pekua does require shechita midaraisa. So again, so it wouldn't work. There's no way for him to eat a kezias of this animal, even if it's a ben pekua, without shechting.
A ben pekua really is.
It's an animal that was that it's an animal that was born to a mother that was shechted. Next, why doesn't Rabbi Yechonon give another answer? That, let's say we're talking about that they already went to a din Torah and the Dayanim Paskin, the final psak, and they say, say tenloi, go out, give him what you owe him, meaning go pay him the Tashlumi Kekel. Da'amar Rava, because after all, didn't Rava say, this was also earlier in Meruba, say tain loy tavach ha-macha-pater, that if he says, that if the dayanim tell him, go out, give it to him, and then he shechts the animal or sells it, he's pater from the dalabeh. My timer, why is that? Kim to paskil a milsei, because once the dayanim have paskin the din, once they've definitively said, you're chayav to pay, the tavach ha-macha, and at that point he shechts or sells the animal, have a gazlan. At that point he changes from a ganav to a gazlan. Because a gazlan, he's doing it brazenly in the open, and that's what he's doing over here. The gazlan, lemishalom, tashlum abba v'chamisha. And a gazlan doesn't pay tashlum abba v'chamisha.
But initially it was not a gazlan.
Originally it was a gazlan. That's why he was chayav kefil. Yeah.
And that changes his status.
Now that changes his status, yeah. On the other hand, Rava continues, if the dayanim tell him chayav atal litzimoy, if the dayanim only tell him you're obligated to give him, but they haven't yet said actually go give it to him, v'tavach ha-macha, chayav, then he is chayav in the dal of the hang. My time, a kol kamad lepsikole milsak atiganim, because as long as they haven't definitively said you have to pay it, chayavu is kind of like still the deliberation. They're saying, you know, it seems like it's going to come out that you're chayav. They haven't actually passed and yet, you know, bang, the din is such and such. Therefore, at that point, if he were to shech the animal or sell it, he'd be considered a ganav, and a ganav pays dalav behe. So returning to our point over here, then the point is, why doesn't Rabbi Yechonon mention that possibility? That we're talking about. So now let's say, so Tosfos points out, in that case we have to add a lot for the Braisa, but still Tosfos says it's still less of a doichet than saying that the guy ate nevela. So say as follows, in other words, the guy comes and says, "Where's my shirt? Nigna. Mashpiachani omen." Edim come and say that he actually has it in his possession. They go to a din Torah. The dayanim decide to look over the case and say, say same way. Then he shechts it. That would be when the Braith is saying he's potter from Dalad Behe. Why doesn't Rabbi Yechonon say that? Okay. Amri, so they answer, Velitai Mech, new according to your own Svara, Lishna Lebe Shotep Shatava. Rabbi Yechonon doesn't need to go into that level of detail either. He could have found a much simpler way that the Braisa could be talking about. Namely, the Braisa could be talking about a case of a partner, who are two partners who own an animal jointly. One of them illegally took the animal and shechted it, where it said over there in Merubah that he's potter, because you only chayev for 4 or 5 whole oxen, not half ones. So in that case, you have a much simpler. Also, Rashi says you can't say utvach choy implies you're shechting the whole animal, meaning you're chayev for the whole animal. Here, you don't mean chayev for half it. Whatever it is, the point is that Rebbe Akiva asks why Rashi is bringing both explanations. Whatever the point is that that's a much simpler case. You have two people own an animal in partnership. One of them goes and so one day one of them comes to the other and says, where's the ox, meaning our ox that we own in partnership? Nignav, mashbiach ani, amen. Turns out that he has it in his possession and he shechted it, and we're saying he's chayav the kefil and potter from dalav behe.
Because he's a shutter.
Yeah. Who shechted without his friend's knowledge. Ella, chodav etzir plus a nakat. So no, you can simply say that Rabbi Yochanan, it's true, there are a lot of possible cases that Rabbi Yochanan could have shtelled on this guy, but he chose one of them. He didn't have any particular preference for one over the other, but he had to pick one, so that's he picked the one that is Nevela. But it could have equally well been one of these other ones. Another din. So that's it. So we're left with what we said before, that a toyin tainas ganav is going to pay dalad behein. So returning to that brisa then, when he says heichan shori nignav etc. If it were not for any of these situations, if it wasn't nevela and he wasn't a shutter from whatever, then in fact he would be chayiv dalad behein, just like a regular ganav. Now, how about another one? A person claims tainas ganav when it comes to an aveda. Before we were talking about a pekodin. Now we're talking about you found something, you're holding it in your possession till the guy shows up and claims it. When he comes and claims it, you say it was lost, etc. Mishalom tashlom ekefel. He also pays tashlom ekefel. Now the pasuk doesn't say that explicitly, but he says, "My time and dechtiv." I'll call aveda ashayim. Actually, the pasuk does say it explicitly because the pasuk says, "For any loss for which he would say this is it, then he has to pay. Then he has to pay double." Eisvei Rav Abba b'memel l'Rabbi Abba. Brisa says, I have a contradiction to this from Brisa. Brisa says when the pasuk says ki yitein ish, the pasuk starts off the dinim of shomrim by saying if a man gives. Implying a nesinas katan klum, implying, but a child giving is not considered anything. Meaning, Rashi learns that actually what it means is that you're still chayav to guard his object if he asks you to watch it. But if something went wrong, if it was lignav or nevad or what have you, you would be possible from swearing
for a child.
For a child, because the pasuk is talking about an ish. Yeah. And there are rishonim who learn that maybe it even means that you you're possible from shmirah on it altogether. Whatever. Anyway. Now you would only know then, based on that limud from the word kiyitin ish, that it only applies when the maskid gave it to him when he's still a child, the tavir true cotton, and later on he comes and sues him in based in when he's still a child, the owner of the object that is. Then he would say the shomer is potter on the basis of kiyitin ish. But nosnik shu katan v'tavik shu gadol minayin. How do we know the same rule applies even if he gave it to him for safekeeping, the owner, when he was a child, and by the time he came to ask for it, the student based him, he's already an adult. How do we know? Talmud lema adher lekim yavid v'ashneim. Therefore, the pasuk continues, to the dayonim should come the matter of both of them, meaning that, in other words, we're making a hekish between the two halves of the thing, between the giving and the tviya. How exactly that hekesh is? A couple of Rishonim talk about the possibilities. One of them is because the words Dvar Shnehem imply both claims, both the claim that I gave you this to watch and the counterclaim it was stolen. So therefore we see the whole process has to have been when he was a gadol, beginning from the giving it to him. Agitain a sinner to be a shavim ka'achon. So it has to be the giving of it for safekeeping and the suing and based in to get it to get paid for it. Have to be both when he's an adult.
Otherwise,
he's potter. Right. The im isa. Now, if you're telling me that if a person claims pinus ganav and aveda, he still has to pay kefil to have inamik aveda, why should it be any different? Why should a case where a child gave you something for safekeeping and now as an adult he's coming to get it back, why should that be any different than an aveda? an aveda, you didn't get it with the other person's das. He lost it. You found it. There was no das. So there was no das of anybody to give it to you. Cotton's das is not any less than no das at all. Why shouldn't you be chayiv in that case?
To make it similar to the cotton, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, but here we're talking about, this Braise is talking about when he ate it, he consumed it still while the guy was a cotton. So he gave it to him as a cotton. The guy illegally consumed it when the owner was still a cotton. Now, when he's a gadol, he's coming to claim it. But by the time he's a gadol, the thing is already gone. Okay, so the question is, so what are you telling me then? That on the other hand, if he gave it to him when he was a child, then he ate it when the guy was an adult, and now the guy is suing him still as an adult. You're going to say that he's chayev and he has to pay? Rashi says we're actually talking about, swear per se, meaning in other words, he has to come to a din Torah. Tosfos talks about that it may literally mean to pay. Whatever, anyway.
Either paying or swearing.
Then why does the Braisa only mention that the giving and the suing have to be at the same time, have to be in the same state with him when the owner is an adult? Listen, the Braisa instead should say when the eating of it and the suing are in the same state.
Not the
Nesina. Yeah. You're right. Fine, you're right. You can change the words of the Braisa. Instead of Nesina, the word should be Achilah. Rav Ashi says, actually, this whole comparison that you're trying to make between an Aveda versus a cotton, giving something as a cotton, is not really a valid comparison. The loydomi, they're not similar. Aveda ka'asu mekarach ben das, because the difference is, a lost object, it's true, there was no das to give it to you, nevertheless, it was a person with das who lost it in the first place. It left his possession when he had das. B'holai, asu mekarach ben das, where the cotton's the cotton, there's no das involved at all,
at any time,
because he's a cotton. So therefore, you could argue that, yes, in the case of a cotton, xeris ha-kotzer, because ish, that you're always going to be potter, even if the only thing that happened when he was a cotton was the giving it over as a cotton, everything else happened after when he was a gadol, you'd still be potter. On the other hand, it's different than the case of an aveda, where at least the guy who lost it has that. Another din.
That's the last word on it.
Okay. Another din, if somebody claims on a pikadon that it was stolen, he will not be chayev unless he denies part of the claim and admits part of the claim. Now, what we mean by he won't be chayev, different Rishonim talk about, are we talking about chayev to swear, or are we talking about chayev to pay kavan? The different Rishonim learn differently what Rav Chiya Ba'aba is.
Chayev can mean
chayev to pay the kavan, well, if it turns out that he's lying, or it can mean chayev to swear. My timer, what is the reason? Because the Pasuk says that this is it. Meaning, the whole pasuk is that I'll call Drak Pesha for anything that he's careless. I'll Shor Hamer, I'll Sel Asama, I'll call Aveda for any loss. Asher Yoma Kihuze, that he says this is it. Meaning, this is it that I owe you. I don't owe you anything more, which is what you're claiming. Then the pasuk continues that it goes to Beis Din, and then Asher Yashi, you're another king, etc. Upligad Rav Chiya Bar Yosef. However, this statement of Rav Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with the statement of Rav Chiya Bar Yosef. Namely, the Amr of Chiba Yosef, Iruf Parashias Kotzav Kan. Rabbi Chiba Yosef says that there's a mix-up of Parashias that's written over here. The Chiksiv, Ki Huze Amalvahu Dichsiv. He says, I agree the word Ki Huze implies a partial admission. But it's not talking about a Pekodin, rather it's talking about a milveh, it's talking about a loan. So Rashi explains, a couple of dozen or so psukim earlier, the Torah talks about, later on in that parak, In Mishpatim, the Torah starts talking about loans in Kesef Tal Vasami. So these words, Kihuze, the Chiksiv, Kihuze Amalva Hu Dechsiv, these words, Kihuze, are referring to the case of Malva and Aloiva. So Rashi learns that what the Gemara means, what Rav Chiya Bar Yosef means, is it's referring only to that. It's referring only to the case of Amalva. Meaning, in other words, that Rav Chiya Bar Yosef would say that when it comes to a pikadon, there's no such thing. There's no business of hijab or mixus or kfir or mixus. even whether you admit the whole, whether you deny the whole claim, whether you admit part of it, you're going to equally well be chayev. The words ki hu zeh are referring strictly to a milvah. The Tosfos over here, this is one of the longest Tosfos and Shas over here. I always thought it was funny that you have a really long one, and then you have a tiny one and a tiny little one at the bottom over there. Anyway, Tosfos has a couple of other explanations of what the Gemara means. One of them is that the Gemara doesn't mean that it's only talking about a malva and loiva. It means it's also talking about them. He would say the same dinim that apply. He would say that these words are talking about both. Are talking about both cases. Milva and a pikkudim.
Why does he say that?
Because that's the fact is either parshias kasev kahana, it may be a mix of parshias, but the fact is it is written in connection with pikkudim. Tosfos then gives it another explanation, which is that it's true, it does apply to both of them, but it not applies to both. It applies like this. You can have there's two kinds of claims you can make for the pikkudim. One of them is a claim that would help you just as much with a milva. For example, I gave it back to you. The other kind is the kind that would help only with a pikkudim, but not with a milva. For example, it was lost or it was stolen. If I lend you money, I don't care whether it got lost, I still want my money back. But if it's a carbon, if you're a shalachinim, you'll be potter. Therefore, so the Riva explains in Tosfos what the Gemara means to say. What Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef is saying is that when it says ki hu zeh, and it's referring to a milva, it means we're only talking about the kind of claim by a carbon that would work with a milva as well. For example, I returned it to you. So there you would have to have, he'd have to, if he claimed I returned the whole thing to you, he'd be potter. But if he claimed I returned half of it to you, then he'd be chayav.
And that would be.
But on the other hand, if he claimed that it was lost, then it would be, yes, because that's the same kind of claim that you could make with a milva. Whereas if he says, for example, it was lost or it was stolen, then it doesn't matter whether it's the whole thing or part.
It doesn't.
Because either way, he's chayav. Either way, he's equally chayav. Okay. So the Gemara continues. A maishna milva. So what's the difference? Why are we saying that these words ki hu zeh referring also or exclusively to a milva, yeah. Kedirabba, the reason is like Rabba says, to Amar Rabba, mitnei ma Amar Torah modim ritzat atani yishava, why b'chalal does the Torah say that if a person admits part of a claim, you make him swear on it? On the face of it, I mean, if you're suspecting that Mefarshim explain, the Tosfos and Nashi discuss it a good deal at the beginning of Bava Metzia, because this Gemara is there also, that one possibility is the Gemara may be asking the tzad of migui. We know if a person makes a weaker claim, you believe him because he could have made a stronger claim. Like this, if he's saying, I only owe half of it, you should believe him because he could have said, I owe none of it. Why don't you? Chazaka ain't an amazed pun of a pnei bal chayv, because it's a chazaka that a person is not going to have the chutzpah to completely deny things in front of somebody who he owes money to, who did him a favor.
And he won't say that he did.
He won't deny it completely. So he would have wanted to deny the whole thing, but he doesn't have the break kite to deny it because a normal person doesn't have the chutzpah to do that. On the other hand, he wouldn't mind then admitting the whole thing. However, why indeed is he denying part of the claim? Because he figures, if I admit the whole thing, then he's going to sue me for the whole thing and I'm going to have to pay all that money out at once. Ishtimitli mi. Ishtimitli miahashta. So what I'm going to do is ishtimit. Let me get out of it. Let me evade it for now by claiming that I only owe half. Ada havuli zuzia paraina. Until I have more money, and then I'll be able to pay the whole thing. So therefore, hilchah rama rachmana shavua elavei. Therefore, the Torah imposes a shavua on him. Kiyeched deloid lebekula. That way, he will admit the whole thing, and that way,
what
he's not modan. Right. So that's the logic behind the concept of modim mitzvah having to swear. And like this, because we don't want to accept without a shavua, because he may, you know, as time passes, it may become accepted that he really only owes half that amount, whatever. So therefore, we make him swear, and that way it's clear that he really does owe the whole thing. And then fine, let him and the malva come to terms. So the point is, now you can only say that when it comes to a malva and a loiva, because the malva did a favor to the loiva, he wouldn't have the chutzpah to deny the whole thing. Avagabi pekodin may is amazed. But when it comes to pekodin, he absolutely would have the chutzpah to do that. Because the Adirabi, he's doing a favor for the other guy. He's watching the thing for him. Therefore,
for
Milvi, he wouldn't have a chutzpah to deny the whole thing.
But
Pikadmi, he might. That's what Rav Chiya bar Yosef is saying.
Why for Pikadmi?
Think of it. When a Pikadmi, you're watching something for somebody else. The other guy didn't do you a favor. You're doing him a favor.
Right.
So why? What's holding me back? What's psychologically holding me back from denying the whole thing? No, that's the thing. Rav Chiya bar Yosef is saying, therefore, that only when it comes to a milva, if you deny half and admit half, are you chayav to pay.
Right.
But with a pekadin, you're chayav regardless, whether you deny the whole thing or whether you, with a milva, you're potter from a shavua midaraisa anyway. If you deny the whole thing, because if you deny the whole thing, taka must be there was nothing there. Chazaka ain't an amazed partner. But with a pekadin, you can't say that.
And you can't say that because.
Because there's no reason to, because about the pekadin, the guy didn't do you a favor such that you would be embarrassed to deny the claim. So that's the point. Rav Chiya bar Yosef is explaining the pasuk that way, whereas Rav Chiya bar Abba is understanding it differently. Rav Chiya bar Abba is understanding the words ki hu zeh, just like the rest of the pasuk, refer to a pekadin. Therefore, by pekadin, you need to also have hajab a mikvah and tefillah a mikvah. You need to have the same thing. In order to be chayav, you'd need to admit half part of the claim and deny part of it. Tani Rami bar Chama. Rami bar Chama taught a b'raisa, abar shomrin tzichim tefillah a mikvah v'hajab a mikvah. The four shomrim need to have a partial denial and a partial admittal, meaning Rashi says in order to be chayav a shavua. So if they deny the whole thing and they swear, then they won't be chayav the kefil, which again means that he's disagreeing with Rav Chiya bar Yosef. However, Rashi's implication is that Rami bar Chama agrees with Rav Chiya bar Abba of Rav Yosef. Which means that Rashi evidently takes the position, like the Rosh, that that's what Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan was talking about. It's about the chiyuv of a shvua, which leads to the chiyuv of kefil. Now, like I said, there are other Rishonim who learn that regardless he's going to be chayav a shvua, the only question is he going to be chayav kefil. Okay. The Elohim, the four Shomim are as follows. Shemachinim v'hashayom le'hisachav v'hasechem. Amar Rav, in my time in the Rami bar Chama, so where does Rami bar Chama get that from, that applies to all the four Shomim? Because but the word ki hu zeh, which we're understanding to mean partial admission, it says in connection with the shem echinam, it's in that context. So again, Rav Chiya bar Yosef had learned that that's interjected from the section on a mil on a malva. Rami bar Chama doesn't agree with that.
It's solely
according to him, it's solely
shomrim,
yeah. Or not solely. No, I mean everybody agrees that the concept of moedim mitzvah applies to milva as well. All that we're saying is if we disagree with Rav Chiya bar Yosef, we're saying it applies to a milva, fine, for the reason he said chazaka ain't an amazed part of etc. But it equally well applies to shomrim, and that's what Rami bar Chama is saying. That it applies to it applies to a shomer chinam because the pasuk says that. Ki hu zeh. Shemesachar is because Yalef Nesina Nesina Meshemachinam. We know it applies to a Shemesachar as well because we learn Gzera Shava, the word Nesina. Ki Yitain, it says by both of them. So therefore we make a Gzera Shava. Shoyel, we know that it applies because Vichy Yishal, because the Pasuk introduces the Pasuk on Shoyel with a Vav. And if a person borrows, therefore Vav Moshe Chal Inyunushin, which comes to teach us that the Vav adds to what it said before. What it said before is the case of Shemachinam and Shemesachar. Yeah. And socher, what about the renter? Then it depends. Ilamanda amakashema socher, hainu shema socher. So it depends. There's the two different opinions of Tanoim, which we learned earlier in our Masechta, whether a socher basically has the dinim of a shema chinam or basically has the dinim of a shema socher. So if you say he's like a shema socher, then you learn hainu shema socher, then it's the same as shema socher, and you learn from there. Ilamanda amakashema chinam, hainu shema chinam. So either way, you've covered all four shema. Okay. If somebody claims on a pekadon that it was stolen, and really he himself took it, he's not chayev unless he actually puts forth his hand against it. Meaning Rashi says, for example, he used it to do work. He misused it. Like this is the pekadon. He's not supposed to be using it for any of his own personal business, as we were learning in Ezra. Yes.
So opening just in a cupboard or a separate place.
Right. So it has to be yishlach boyah that he actually misused it. Yeah. My timer. Why is that? Because the pasuk says v'nikra balabayis ala lekevim lo shalach yadim lachas reiv. Because the pasuk says that the balabayis, meaning the shomer, come and the shomer and the owner of the thing come to the beis din im lo shalach yadim lachas reiv. if he did not send forth his hand, if he didn't misappropriate what belongs to the other person. Miklal di shalach bayad mechayim, implying that if he did misuse it, then he would be chayim.
That's the Torah.
Okay. The memra, the in other words, the Torah wants to explicitly tell us that the case where he's chayev is where he previously shalach boyad, he previously used it. Now he falsely claimed and swore turn tainus ganav. Now when it turns out that he didn't, that he kept it himself, then he'll be chayev case.
There has to be aid him to show that he used it.
Yeah. And however, Rabbi Ba'aba said to them, to the Chachamim, you should know that this is what Rabbi Yechanan said, but that we're talking about this that we're saying, that the Torah in China's Ganav is going to be Chayav Kefil, is if the animal is standing by its manger. So even there was no Shlichus Yad, he didn't use it for anything. Therefore, what clarify what you're saying. Do you mean to say that only in the case where he didn't? Are you saying exactly the opposite of Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef? That only if he didn't use it is when you're going to be chayev? In other words, so far we have shalach bayad that he actually took the animal and used it. The opposite of that is emedes alevusa. So the animal is just standing by its feedlot, by its manger, and eating. You never laid a hand on it to use it for any of your purposes.
What is it eating in his bag or in?
Yes. But in other words, the point is that you didn't misuse it. You've been watching it this whole time. And Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is saying that in that case is if you claim Tainus Ganav and it turns out that it's false, you have the animal in your on your property, you're going to be Chayav Kefil. So that's Rabbi Zera is asking Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Well, that's the question. Are you saying Davka ba Emedes Alei Busa Kamar? Maybe you're saying no. Only if it's Emedes Alei Busa are you Chayav Kefil. Avo Sholach Bayad, but on the contrary, maybe you're saying exactly the opposite of Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef.
No.
If you were Sholach Bayad, if you misused it sometime before that, Kona, then by doing that you were Koneh, because then you became a Gazlan, effectively. Ushvua Lemahanya Beklum, and therefore the Shvua doesn't really accomplish anything. It doesn't make you Chayav any more than you would have been Chayav before, because you already used it for your purposes, yeah? Or maybe did Rabbi Yechanan mean to say even if it's a medes alei busa? In other words, that it's more, like you said, more inclusive. Regardless whether you used it, regardless not, toyim tainus ganav, turns out you're lying and he swore falsely, kefil. Which is it? Amalei, so Rabbi Chiya bar Abba tells him, zulo shamaiti, actually I didn't hear anything explicit from Rabbi Yechanan on that subject, kayotzeba shamaiti, but I heard something similar. I heard a similar case that Rabbi Yechanan talked about. So Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Atayim Tainus Ovad V'Nishba, if somebody makes a claim of Ovad, that the animal was lost, destroyed, whatever, yeah, V'Nishba, and he swore falsely on that, because of Atayim Tainus Ganav V'Nishba, then he goes and makes a new claim that it was stolen by a Ganav and swore on that, Ubo Edim, and then Edim come, Potter. So he's Potter, he's Potter from the Kefil. Now, my timer, now why should he be potter from kefil? Lav mishum dekana b'shavur reshoina. Wouldn't it be l'chora because once he says toyin tainas aveda, then already he's fully koneh in the sense that he's now chayev in oitzin, as we learned back at the bottom of Kufay on Vez, the beginning of yesterday's Gemara, that's what Rav Sheshes had said, if you deny a pekodin, then you become a gazlan. So then by the same logic, then you become a goblin. Right away, you're chayev for anything that happens to it, even an oinus. Therefore, there's no kefil to be mechayev you for later. So therefore, that would prove that in that case of Rabbi Yechanan, there was no shlichus yad. The only thing that made it that you were goblin is the toyin tainus avad. And we see that you're still koneh in that sense, to be mechayev an oinus. By the same logic then, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't matter whether there's shlichus yad or not. Once you've turned Tainus Ganav, yeah. Amalei, so Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says, that's not necessarily that's not necessarily a proof. Loi, hoyo v'yotzi yedei baila mishvur reshana. There could be a different reason why Rabbi Asi's statement in the name of Rabbi Yechanan is saying is kosher in that case. Because he was already yotze, his obligation to the owner with the first shvur. Meaning, in other words, that at this point, in other words, After he swore the first shvur, Torin Tainus Avad, Beis Din is not going to bring him back in to swear again Torin Tainus Ganav. He can't be chayev a shvur to the owner anymore, to be chayev in Tashlum HaKefil. Once he swore on the first claim, Torin Tainus Avad, that's it. As far as we know, things are over between him and the original owner. Later on, the original owner keeps on bugging him and mashviachani, and then finally the guy says, you know what, fine, it was stolen. That's not a shavuos based in. That's not the kind. That's something the chayivim tashlum table. So he can't prove anything one way or the other from that. It's Ranami, and in fact, it was explicitly said that Amr of Oven, Amr of Ila, Amr of Yechanan, Hatorin Tainas Avedim of Pekadim, that yes, if somebody claims that a Pekadim was lost, the Nishma, and he swore falsely on that, because of a ton Tainas Gneva, and then he swears, then he claims Tainas Gneva, and swears, Bo Edim, and then Edim come, Potter, then he's still Potter from Kefal, Hoyov Yopti, De Bailam Shvur Roshana, because at that point he fulfilled his obligation to the owner with the first Shvur. The second Shvur is not going to be a Shvur in Beis Din anymore. Another din, Omer of Sheshes, Hatoyim Tainas Ganav Pekodin. If somebody claims a Tainas Ganav on Pekodin, Kivin Shesholach Bayad Potter. Once he misused it, if he misused it before the Shavua, then he's Potter. It's exactly the opposite, actually, of what Rav Chiya Yosef had said. Rav Chiya Yosef had said that only if you're Shalayach Yad, you would be Chayav. Rav Sheshes is saying exactly the opposite. My time, because he understands the pasuk like this. That the case comes to Beis Din if he did not stretch forth his hand to misuse it, implying hashalach yad potter, implying that if he was shalach yad, then the whole thing never begins. Reb Chiya Abba, in other words, was saying that then that's the case where you bring him to Beis Din, he says like this. If you're going to be potter from Kefal, Imlo Shalach Yadav Imlachas Re'eru. But if you were Shalach Yad, you're going to be Chayav in Kefal. Rav Sheshes is understanding it the other way around. If you were Shalach Yad, the whole case never comes to Beis Din to come to Kefal.
Because the
pasuk says Imlo Shalach Yadav, remember, if he didn't stretch forth his hand. So you can understand that in two ways. That it means that he's only Chayav the Kefal if he stretched forth his hand, which is what Rav Chiya Yosef said. Or you could say the other way around. He's only come to Beis Din for the whole rigmarole if he didn't stretch forth his hand. Okay. What are you talking about? Don't we know that a shomer, when it comes to Beis Din, that when the case comes to Beis Din, that the owner is asking for the thing back, and the guy is claiming that I don't have it in my possession, it was lost, stolen, what have you. Sholosh shavuos mashbiyanoi. So there's three kinds of shavuos that Beis Din makes him swear. Number one, shavuos shalei peshayti ba. One is a shavuos that I was not peshaya, that I wasn't careless with it, with watching it. Number two, shavuos shalei shalachti ba yad, that I didn't misuse it, like which is what we're talking about. And third, shavuos she'ein b'rishusi. And number three, that it's not in my possession at all. So my lav shavuos shalei, given that we're comparing those three, given that they all come together, my lav shavuos shalei shalachti ba yad dumya de shavuos she'ein b'rishusi. On the face of it, we should draw an analogy between shalei shalachti ba yad and ein b'rishusi. Namely, my shavuos she'ein b'rishusi, consider the shavua that it's not in my possession, pi migalya milsa de isa b'rishusi chayim. Well, if it turns out in the end that it is in his rishus, he is chayim, the cable.
The fact that
he's right. By the same logic, the shvur that I didn't misuse it, then he should be chayev in kefal. What are you telling me? That if he was shalayach yad, he'd be potter.
It's always like that. It always makes you.
You always make them swear those three things. Yes.
That it's not in your shoes.
That you didn't use it. That you didn't. You weren't shalayach yad, and that you weren't peshaya. Yes.
Peshaya would mean that you.
You were careless. It was money, for example, you didn't bury it in the ground, there was an animal, and you let it go into a dangerous place, whatever, yeah, negligence. Amalei loy. No, Sir Rav Sheshes tells him, you have to draw the analogy differently. Shavur shalei shalachti ba yad, dumi shalei pashayti ba. No, compare the shavur shalei shalachti ba yad, which is the second shavur, compare it to the first one, shalei pashayti ba. Namely, ma shavur shalei pashayti ba, consider the shavur that I wasn't pashaya, if it turns out that he was Peshea, Potter mi Kefal, at that point he's Potter from Kefal because he's not a Ganav. If he was Peshea and it got stolen, he's not paying Kefal. The Ganav, if he gets caught, he's going to pay Kefal. He's going to be paying Keren right on the spot because he was careless, but he's not going to be paying Kefal. Ab Shavur, Shalosh Shalach Vayad, the same thing, the Shavur, about Shalosh Vayad, he was Galya Milta, the Shalosh Vayad, if it turns out that he was Shalosh Vayad, Potter Mikapel, then also he will be Potter Mikapel. Because at that point, again, once he was Shalosh Vayad, the logic is, once he was Shalosh Vayad, he's Chayev in anything that happens there, even Oitzin. At that point, you can't consider him a Ganev anymore. At that point, it's not even a Gazlan, really. I mean, at that point, it's effectively considered like in his possession. It's sort of a Gazlan. Yeah, Rav Sheshet had said that if he's denying a Pekodin, then that makes him a Gazlan. He was not denying, but we're talking about a similar idea. That once he was Shaleach Vayad, then that's it. He becomes fully liable for anything that happens to him. He gets the full liability as if he was a Shoyol, or even beyond that, even if he's a Shemachinam. Therefore, there's no room for Kevel anymore.
You would prove that.
Well, yeah, obviously, yeah, like anything else.